Let's face it, getting older sucks. Getting older in the age of social media is even worse. Do you hate it when people tell you to age gracefully? Do you want to know how to live your best life at any age? Well, so do we. First rule, don't call me ma'am. Now, here's Jody Miller.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Call Me Ma'am. I'm Jody Miller. Don't fucking call me ma'am. Today, I have a very special person joining me. It's a male ma'am, which I guess is a sir, which isn't cool because sir is such an amazing thing to call someone. It's like got so much like power and respect, and ma'am is like, no, I don't want to fuck you. But this guy, and that's how we open the show here, people. This guy is a very good friend of mine. I've known him, known you for a very long time, but I think we became closer last few years. He's amazing. There's just so many credits. I don't even know where to begin. So I'm just going to introduce this amazing comedian, Jamie Kennedy.
Hi.
And that's it. That's our show.
Wow. what an intro.
Do you remember? I'm trying to think of the name of the place. It was, you were right at the height of the Jamie Kennedy experiment, and it was that place on 3rd. It was a bar that did stand-up. Do you remember Mark Franco was there? Do you remember Mark Franco? It was like an Italian place. It was two guys, maybe an Italian.
Kind of.
It was next to St. Nick's. It was that was a bar.
I remember St. Nick's.
Yeah, so it was like a couple doors down. I remember you blew in one day, just fucking were like, I'm going to do some comedy. And that's when I first like saw you and you just like destroyed that room.
Wow.
I know.
Thank you.
And I was like, oh, he really is actually funny. Because you know when people like are like have their own show, but then you see them on stage and they're like, why does this asshole have a show? Do you ever feel like that or no? Just me?
Oh, I feel like people don't really know my history, and it's people like you that do.
Right.
You know that I started as a stand-up.
Yes.
But, I mean, I was trying to do whatever.
How old were you when you started stand-up?
I was 19. And then I really didn't take it seriously until I was 20.
Oh, wow.
And then.
What a long time to wait.
And then 20, the end of 20, like middle 20. And then I took it really seriously. And then I was like from 20 to 24.
Right.
It was pretty much like, you
know. Nonstop.
But it was open mics. It was waiting in line at the factory. And
right.
It was getting like a showcase spot here and there.
Yeah.
And then I started getting busy because of stand-up through the clubs, you know. Like casting directors would go out there a lot and stuff. And so I got a commercial and stuff. And then I got busy as an actor for about 5 years. And I started back really hard again in 98, starting to doing opening for people, and then middling, and then doing colleges. So doing like 20, I had about 20 minutes. I was a famous guy with 20 minutes.
That's pretty amazing.
But I didn't try to do more.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
Which I was lucky. I got paired with, you know, Rick Overton. I got paired with Bob Saget. I got paired with different people. So I got to just do 20. I wasn't, you know. But I didn't really have to pay my dues. I paid my dues very hard.
You paid your dues.
Yes, and then I didn't have to pay my dues on going opening and stuff. But I middled for a while.
Yeah, I featured for Rick Overton several times. You know, it's interesting because, and I think you and I talked about this a couple years ago, which is sort of, you know, the theme of this and just life in general. Like, so you're one of the last comics when I think of, like, comics or people out there now that almost all the generations right now sort of know of you. Like, before social media blew up, like, you were already, like, huge. Like, everybody knew your name. And then social media came. Dane Cook sort of changed the landscape with MySpace. And then everybody started taking to social media to increase their following, to start getting spots in clubs when it wasn't like that. I had to like work harder again. Now you're out there doing colleges and stuff like that, and then you come off the road, and now there's a whole new crop of people that are somehow, you know, social media famous and are getting these amazing spots at clubs. Like you just said it, like, I don't think people realize back in the day, you would have to become a regular at a club and then you would get on a television show, and now it's like you're on a television show, you're on something, and then you automatically get passed as a regular. And I feel like a lot of comics aren't paying their dues and aren't working, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of comics out there that don't have a lot of time, or they're just okay because they did it backwards, you know what I mean?
There's a lot, and you know, people could argue for me, they could argue against me. There's all types, but you know, first of all, I'm never the cop of comedy, and it's like it is. You obviously want to get respected at the highest level, and you know, there are people that you know from other things that do comedy. Now there's people that just started doing comedy or only doing comedy a couple years and you know them from other things, and then there's people that have been doing comedy on and off their whole life and then but are more known for something else, but there are also great comics that are actors. So it is a different world. Like it's I don't know how to answer that. You tell me, comedy's bigger than it's ever been.
Ever.
And I've talked to Don Myrera, I mean, one of the voices, I believe, of comedy.
Yes.
And he said that to me. And I think that I was telling everybody, like, you know, there's so many beautiful people in comedy now. Like, you know who the most, you know, pretty young female comic was when I started? Me.
you were so beautiful.
Because comedy, and then like you, like seriously, like comedy was a freak show. Like, yeah. and it was this stereotypical, like angry black dude, you know, lesbian with a vest.
Right.
You know,
women that are attractive but not allowed to wear makeup. Everyone's like, why are you wearing makeup?
The neurotic Jew. You know, and it was like, and I was like the goofy, like young, like stoner
party guy.
Yeah, I'm still what I am now, like the party guy, you know, and it's like, so, or he had Ant, you know, the wildly gay. Is he out?
he is now.
So it's like that. And now comedy is like people that literally, like, I was like, Jesus, like on both sides. Like I did a show last night with great looking dudes. And I've done the show the night before with great looking women. And it's like, and now comedy is sexier, I guess.
I mean,
to me, it's always been that way. So.
But that social media has everything to do with that too, by the way.
100%. What you're saying is I am lucky because I do believe I'm the last bastion of a guy who opens for me sometimes said it. He's like, bro, there is no exclusivity anymore. And it kind of hit me in the last 2 months of the brand of Sean Penn, who I love, who I was raised to be.
Right.
You know, I was raised on those laps of, like, you know, I've been in movies with Leo, I've been in movies with George Clooney, and it's like, to me, their brand is exclusivity of you get them when you get them, and they do a great performance, and you don't talk, and if you talk about them, you're talking about them, because they're this rare panda, and now everybody has to be everywhere. And so I think, you know, those are our last, you know, gates of exclusivity, and I think the guy told me, he's a young upcoming comic, he's like, dude, exclusivity is dead. And he's like, your brand is not that, and you should be everywhere. And I have to listen to him.
No, you're right. And I've talked about this many times, but it is true. It's like, you know, you and I are the same age, and it's a weird middle age because obviously we know the importance of social media and how it helps our career, but we're all, like, because we're young enough to know all that and to know that we need to do it, but we're also old enough to, like, remember what it was like before that, and I'm exhausted. Like, I already did so much hard work, and now it's a new form of hard work, constantly posting and keeping your fans engaged and updating. And why should you follow you? Why should we go see you this weekend instead of this guy who's making really funny videos with whipped cream? Like, you know, you know what I mean? It's, that's the kind of thing. It's like, so you're constantly like, I gotta post, I gotta keep engaged. They wanna see what I'm doing in my life, but I still wanna keep my life private, and I wanna take a nap, and now I gotta record that, and I gotta wake up, and now I'm taking a shit, and oh my god, girls don't shit, so why did I say that? Like, it's everything. Do you know what I mean? But
well, I think if you look at our biggest star possibly on the planet right now, would probably be Dwayne Johnson. Would you say? I mean, he's now doing, he got a movie for $21 million, which is the most upfront I've ever heard.
Okay.
And then he got another $1 million to promote it on social media.
Oh my god.
That's $22 million. And you know, so Forbes just came out, and the first two highest entertainers are women.
Right. Is it Meryl Streep?
No, it's Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor Swift,
And then Kylie Jenner.
Oh, Jesus.
And then,
is she an entertainer, though?
Yeah, I mean, she's on E. She's on the Kardashians.
Oh, she is. Okay, because to me, she's an influencer.
But, yeah.
Right.
But, and then the third one is Kanye. So if you look at it, you know, it's, those are three personalities that are everywhere. And so you have to do that now. And you're right. And Kevin Hart is the hardest working man in show business. And it's like, who do I love? I love Gary Oldman.
Right.
But I do believe that those types are the last of
they
that.
Are.
And you have to be. And it's weird for me to say that. But to me, if you want to, I mean, Jamie Foxx is a great example of a respected, amazing artist.
Yes, artist.
In multiple fields, won an Oscar, and is still out there posting on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how it is. You have to do it.
It's just, it's a lot. You're right. You have to do it. It's a lot, especially when you're working on so many projects and you have to keep reminding yourself to, you know, post stuff, do stuff, constantly keep engaging your stuff. I want to talk about, though, because you said this last night, and I didn't want to forget about this.
Yes, write it down.
We did a show last night, everyone, and it was really good. We both did really good. I did a little bit better. But
did you? I didn't see it.
That's set. Right. You didn't see it, so you don't know.
I want to hear the laughs, Biatch.
I actually recorded all the laughs. So that I just actually record laughs, so when I'm feeling sad and drinking Jack Daniels out of the bottle, mouth-kissing my cat, I just play them. I'm like, you're worth something.
That's not a lie.
Jamie, you were on stage and you actually said, I'm 48 and I still don't know if I want to have children.
Yes.
And it struck a chord because I don't have that luxury. Women don't have that luxury. Men can make that decision your whole life. I still don't know. Maybe I want to have it. Maybe I won't have it. But as we talked about before, you do have a greater chance of having a child with autism, just so you know. It's the men's sperm. It's been proven. So just think about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Here. Did it get in your eye?
It's all over my face now, people. I just got fucking, that's the money shot.
I'm pregnant.
I'm pregnant. I'm having twins. So it's interesting. And I wasn't like, it kind of struck a chord with me when you said that. Like, that's not fair because I tried to get pregnant and I can't. And you can still just like dick around, no pun intended. And then, you know, why?
What's your question?
My question is, all jokes aside, do you really want to have children? Is that something that you see yourself having?
Well, I mean, why not? I'm not.
You don't have siblings, right?
Yeah.
You do?
I have a lot.
How many?
Four sisters and a brother.
Did I know that?
Friends, guys. Intro. One of my great friends.
I don't talk about his siblings.
So, yeah, I think because both my parents are dead. But they've lived a very long life. Right. We've talked about this.
Yes.
And I've gotten the use out of them. Like, the only thing they never really saw me do was, like, create a family. As I am aging, I believe that you make these little creatures with unconditional love. And that's the only reason to do it is to build my little tribe.
Oh, got it.
And it's like,
yourself, like your own cult.
Well, no, more like it's funny, but like to be, I don't know, like this little safe unit, because the more, as I go in this business, the more at times alone I feel.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to describe that. I mean, we talk about that more, but it's like, but I don't want to do it for that reason. I want, like, people are having kids. They don't know why they're fucking having kids.
Yeah.
They're on the hamster wheel. People don't even know what the fuck they're doing, why they're doing it, why they're at their job. I mean, this is a deeper, much deeper than the Rick D studio we can get right now. But what I'm trying to tell you is,
Rick can get deep. We can go
deep. Love Rick. But the thing is that I think about it, and I was thinking about you telling me about it and talking about it, and as I was driving to my next set, I thought about you two times last night.
Please, way more than that.
One time over the toilet.
So hot.
No, but when you said that to me, I was driving, and I thought, I was coming from the belly room, and then I was coming from the Tommy Dojo, and like people ask me to do the shows, and I'll do them, you know, I work out. And there was, like, these three, like, kind of hot but kind of sloppy drunk women. And I thought, as an unmarried guy who, you know, whatever my personal life, that's my personal life, just like you have your own. I don't know your situation. And as a person that doesn't have children, I could decide whether to hang around these three kind of randy, you know, semi-drunk women a little longer. And decide where if there was anything there, I could stay out late and go to a diner.
Right.
And I was like, wow. So this is something to consider when talking to Jody about this, because half of me loves what I love, like I said, like I do believe I need to bond, and another half completely loves my freedom.
The freedom, absolutely.
So there's no, I don't know. I just know that I can.
Right.
And I don't know, but you did say the health risks and stuff, and I'm not like out there actively seeing it, but I do love, I do think about it.
You said something, and I had a very similar experience with that, because my mom passed, and
yes.
You know, and again, I'm sorry for your loss, because you recently went through the loss.
Yeah,
and,
but it's part, we knew it was happening.
But having said that, I had one night, I think maybe 6 months after she died, where I had a total breakdown. And I mean, I like on the knees, like just like crying, like it had just happened right at that moment. And I think it was a lot, if I felt a lot of regret because I chose this career, this industry. There was a part of me that felt like I robbed my mom of watching me get married and becoming a grandmother. Now, she never, ever expressed that. I'll put that out there. She never said that to me. That was never her thing. But I felt it. I wanted to give those things to her. Now, you just said that was the one thing your parents didn't get to experience with you, is watching you have a family. Do you have regrets about that? How do you feel? I'm wondering how you feel about it, because it hit me so hard at that moment that I still do. I wish my mom could be here now. I just bought my first house. I wanted her with me for this experience so bad. And I almost feel like I didn't give it to her because I chose this career, which is a very selfish career. You know what I mean?
I have two things on that. There's some regrets I have. That is not one of them.
Okay, great.
I don't have any regrets about that. And my parents were pretty cool about that. And
right.
they had, but I had other siblings that have done that for them.
Right.
But the second thing is, you have to look at that. I'm working on a joke about it, about how we are trained to please our parents or listen to our parents. And I'm like, why? Our parents are the iPhone 4. Like, think about that. You, it's like, why please these people that are going and backwards? We're the fucking future. And it's like, you ever see a parent with a fax machine? I don't know how this fucking works. What button? It goes through the air. And I'm like, seriously, like, you, like, what is your, why is it your responsibility to have a kid so your mom can look at you play with your kid by the pool? That's, I think about that.
No, it's true.
I mean,
you're right.
It's like, why can't you go and attack the world? And
right.
you should. And it's like, there's a much deeper conversation again. I don't know if we're going to get on Olive Boulevard of like, what are we supposed to do with our life? Are we breeders? Or like, I was like driving last night and like, I was like driving to the Virgil and like, there was like three girls walking into that club that I didn't see.
Yeah.
That I thought they were like, you know, genetically enhanced. And I thought, like, are those robotoids? And I just thought, like, with dating apps, with DoorDash, with Uber, with accessibility, people don't realize that our shit is going to be disrupted so much and our personal lives are going to be fucking disrupted. I mean, look, you're a hot chick. Can I say chick?
Yes.
In your 40s. You got your own house. Yes, you do not have a child. There's ways around that
yeah.
if you really wanted it. But you're an independent woman. You know, I hate to gender define you, but you're just a person. But you're a woman.
I'm a woman.
Okay. You're successful. You're funny. You're smart. You're respected. And you have a job and a high up position. If you want to go out and be the mom, I don't know. It's going to be harder now.
Yeah.
If you want to be the husband, you could. But it's like, what am I saying? I don't know. What I'm saying is, I think that the ideas are changing, and it's not normal to just have a family and two kids now.
No, I agree. And two kids is too much.
Yes.
But no, I agree with that. I definitely think our generation is also the last generation where we still had those, like, you grow up, you get married, you have kids, you live happily ever after. We definitely, that's the last generation, I believe. Maybe.
Yes.
Yes, because millennials are they're right underneath us. And now this new generation, which I think is called Gen Y, which says it all. But I mean, like, they, they don't know how to have any kind of social interaction with people. They are so socially sort of like stunted a little bit because of all the technology. Because it's like, I think I was bringing this up to someone recently. Like, I remember being at the Comedy Store, let's say 12 years ago, and being approached by people. This is way before dating apps. Like, people would approach somebody if they wanted to get your number. You know what I mean? And nowadays, it's like, they'll see someone. Yes, should I walk over to that person, try to interact with them, and maybe get their phone number? Or should I just look on this app? It's way safer. I can just swipe left or right. And now I don't have to risk, you know, getting rejected. And all of that, like, people are like, it should be so easy for you to meet a guy. And I'm like, it's so difficult. to meet someone out here, especially out here.
L.A. gets a lot of blame. Come on, let's go back. Do you think guys in New Jersey are that much better?
No, I didn't say that.
But what I'm saying is the world is becoming narcissistic, Jody.
Oh, well, absolutely.
The world is becoming L.A.
Yes.
Like, I'll go to clubs and they'll have the best coffee in these little shops next to the club now because the internet is opened up. So people in Cleveland are like, shit, I want Varvatos. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where before they didn't have it. So, I mean, I don't know. It's like I get lonely at times, but I love my aloneness.
Yes.
You're also in a lone wolf profession.
Yes.
And it's weird. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, think about the comedy community, which I'm ensconced in, right?
Yeah.
I'm also an actor, but because I feel like in the last 4 years, it has become more communal than ever. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I totally agree.
All levels, from superstars to open micers. We all kind of are in the same melting pot.
We are. And I think LA brings it up because I started comedy in New York, and comedy in New York is slightly different, where I feel like in LA, you can go to the Comedy Store and see someone who has been doing comedy a year right across the room from Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And that's in New York, you don't see it as much. For some reason, the club scene in LA is different, where you can see all of these amazing comics in one show, in one place, very famous, very well known people. And in New York, they're there too, but I don't think it's as accessible. And also, the shows that we do at the Comedy Store, like the show that I run, The C Word, has a great combination between huge, very well-known comedians and comics that have been doing it months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. And it's pretty amazing, I think. And the community has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter because comedy is so massive right now.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's one of the reasons to perform in town. And town got really hot over the last 4 years.
It really did.
And so if I look at this and I look at people, I was thinking about this. And if you're at a comedy club and you're hanging out, from you to me to everybody, it is kind of like that's their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's their family.
Yeah.
Now, there are people with families. There are people that are married. But it is funny because people want to get close, but then they want to be able to not have to depend. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's what the comic mind is. And I just look at it and I feel like, God, it's like comics really will hang out, get along, and then they'll also be very lonely. And it is, I don't know, it gets interesting.
It is a very lonely profession for sure, especially when you're on the road.
But there are people that hang out.
Of course, I hang out. I have a lot of friends that are comics and a lot of friends that aren't comics. And there's definitely that, you know,
but
that
you can't
connection.
Not choose it. That's what I'm saying.
No, yes.
You cannot not choose it.
Right.
You, even though you know the pitfalls,
right,
you still have to do it.
Well, the great thing about comedy, too, of the community, is that I have friends that are 10 years younger, 20 years younger, 10 years older, you know, 20 years older. You are friends with people that, like, you know, my friends back east, you know, they're all married, they have kids, they have, you know, just regular careers. Their friends are all pretty much the exact same age for the most part, unless their coworkers happen to be a little bit younger. But when you're a comedian and or an actor in this entertainment industry, you have a lot of friends that are all different ages, you know what I mean? Which is a good and a bad thing. Like, bringing up the dating thing, I was dating someone that I used to date a long time ago. I reconnected with an ex, and he's still in Jersey, and he said to me, this is only a couple of years ago, he goes, let me just tell you something. In Jersey, a woman over 40 who's never been married is considered a red flag. That's considered a red flag.
That's stupid.
It is, but you know what? LA and New York are the only two, or maybe San Francisco, that don't consider that. Because people out here are like, well, that's not a red flag. But out here, it's not. But in Jersey, in suburbia, they'd be like, well, why hasn't she ever been married? You know what I mean?
A woman over 40.
Who's never been married.
In
now, divorce.
New Jersey, I would consider ready.
Like, you should go there and get it.
Ripe.
Right.
I mean, that's like.
But it hit me. I was like, oh, my God.
But I just.
And then I fucked him.
Yeah, but that's outdated.
Is it? It's not outdated for them.
Yeah, but you don't live there.
I know.
I think people are doing whatever they want now, and I don't think you have to have all of that. So I don't know. But I mean, like in LA, a woman over 40.
Well, you have a joke, and I want you to talk about it.
What?
Because I talked about, so this is how this all came about. I talked about it, the slow transition from being called a miss to being called a ma'am. And by the way, last night, perfect example, walking into the Virgil, four people, two guys, two girls, they're walking in. Every one of them got carded, and the second he came to me, he just waved and went, "You go ahead, have a good night." And I'm like, "You can go fuck yourself. Like, just go through the motion, you douchebag."
Wait, that guy was so nice to me.
He was nice to me too.
And he goes like this. He goes, "Hey, Jamie, but I have my own." He goes, "Are you performing tonight?" I'm like, so it's like, dude, I'm on the. It's like, what are you doing here? So I mean,
that's really funny.
No, I'm here to have a soda.
So but like, that's, I mean, that, yeah, that guy is a little bit, but the fact that he waved me in and laughed is like, so you told me, what did you say? What is your joke?
A woman
would rather be called a cunt than be called a ma'am.
Yeah, I stopped doing that joke though, because I think Steve Byrne, I saw him do a better version of it. But
it's so accurate.
But it's like, basically, you can't call a woman ma'am, and if you're trying to be polite, like, so you got all this movement with women now, and then you got to be like, you know, be respectful, right? And like, "I'm sorry, ma'am, and I called a woman a ma'am," and she was like, "I'm not a ma'am, I'm not old, I'm not a man, I'm not a man." And it's like, women want the respect, they don't. So I said ma'am, and like, I got hollered at a few times, so I just came to some information that women would rather be a young cunt.
Yes, yes.
Than an old ma'am.
You know why?
Why?
Because a cunt is like in the moment, like she's being a cunt, she's cunty. A ma'am is fucking forever. It is fucking forever. Like, you could call me a cunt and I would be pissed, but I'd be like, well, maybe I was being cunty or whatever, or like, I don't even care, like, you know what I mean? And that would sit with me for like a second. I'd be like, fuck you, and then it would be gone. You called me a ma'am, like, you know what, you just go to hell, ma'am. If you said that, I would take that for, it'd be like a month from now, I'd be at a friend's fucking anniversary party, I'd be having a fucking mimosa, and I just start crying, and I'm like, "I'm a ma'am." Like, that's how it would hit us.
Wow. Yeah, and there's something, but like, cunt. We're not allowed to say cunt, but we said cunt.
I can say it.
You'd say it. So are you giving cunt approval?
I'm having cunt approval. Yes.
Okay. So yeah. So, but like, literally, like the word that is supposed to be the worst word is more. I think women are okay more with that than a ma'am.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You're
so right. By the way, the word cunt. We only give word. Words only have power if we give it to them, people.
Thank you.
It's like the name of my show is the C word, and it was based on that. And I mean, like, again, they say it in the UK all the time. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the way we say butter.
Yeah.
Pass the cunt.
Yes.
Like they might not say that, but
wow.
It's very,
pass,
you know,
the cunt.
Pass the cunt, please.
Wow. I love being around you because you can do it and then it blesses it. Because you have to.
I'm blessing it for you.
I know it's annoying, but you know how it is right now.
I do.
And it's like,
yeah,
I did this joke last night, and there was a gay man, and I'm not saying he was a gay man. He announced that he was gay, and I do this joke about Pride Month, and I said,
"All right,
was this the proudest of all Pride Months of all months?" And he was like, "Yes, Queen." That's what he said, and I was like, "But whole buildings were gay. Buildings were coming out." And I go, "I had a gay bagel. There was three bagels left. It was pumpernickel, it was onion, or gay. And I had a gay rainbow bagel." And he was laughing. And people did not laugh until he laughed. And
yeah,
I go,
course.
"Guys, it's gay approved." And so it's just, you know, I don't know. I'm like the last bastion of saying stuff right now.
I know, but
it's okay.
It is.
Because we've had a great run. We've had a few good thousand years.
You're right, though. This was a huge pride, going back on that.
No, it was the biggest.
It was the biggest, right?
I saw, like, cats with gay vests.
Oh,
I saw
God.
Buildings. Abercrombie and Fitch was gay.
Well,
Varvatos was gay. No, like, there was, like, window displays, and it's great.
It is great.
But I just noticed that there were more rainbows than I've ever seen, and I'm not. It's just is. There's nothing bad about it.
For me, it was sort of torturous.
Like, if you comment on it, you get in trouble.
It was torturous for me in West Hollywood because, and I talked about it on stage. I was like, there's so many half naked, hot men walking around the street that want nothing to do with me. Like, nothing. Like, that is my physical type. Like, a guy that you think might be gay is my physical type. I like the pretty boy. So I honestly said, being around Pride right now is like being in a room filled with kittens and I have no hands. That's what it feels like. Like, I want everyone.
But you don't want.
I don't want a guy
to F that guy.
If he was straight.
But he doesn't. But
he doesn't want
hold on,
me.
It has nothing to do. Are you effing a shell or are you effing an essence? Because that guy does not want to F you.
You mean the pretty, just the pretty boy or a gay guy?
You're not going to fuck, you're not going to F a pretty boy just because he's pretty. Yeah, but I know, but how, but like, you he has to really
oh,
want.
Oh, no, of course.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So
no,
it's like,
of course.
We, like, you love a spirit. So the guy, if a guy with a pot belly was hot, there could be a guy with a pot belly that's hot to you.
Of course.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do. Yeah. Yes. Hot pot belly.
Hot,
I'm all over it.
Hot pot.
Hot pot. But in his hot pocket.
But like, do you really, you don't look, because you know the gay man doesn't want you. So
oh,
do you
I know.
So you can appreciate him.
I can appreciate it. Oh, I'm not actually hitting on a gay man. Like, my whole thing is like, and I used to do this joke a long time ago, like, I'm attracted to pretty boys, like, very pretty. Like, if they're one hormone away from a teenage girl, I'm in. And then I go, but there's a problem, you know, being attracted. There's a few problems being attracted to a pretty boy. Like, for one thing, they take longer to get ready than you do. And for another, they're gay. That's it. They're just gay. And that's it. And it's like, here's the thing, though. Back on the East Coast, we would call them metrosexual.
Yeah, metrosexual.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what it was more. Just like a guy. That used to be my type. And my type has changed over the years, for sure. But seriously, when I look at, like, all the hot men in West Hollywood, they're, like, half naked, that, like, yes, want nothing to do with me. It's just like, ugh.
They think you're disgusting.
All right, relax. Settle down.
Wait, I want to ask you a question. So like, I always think that women are, I do that joke about it, how they're raised.
Yeah.
They're kind of, like, the way 2019 is.
Yeah.
I have this new joke I'm working on where I feel like I have to fight my inner dude because I am a dude. You know what I mean? And it's like, I love a smell of a woman. Like, I love, if a woman smells good, it gets me.
Yeah.
Yeah, going. And so it's like, I have to be like, hi, how are you? Is that a new fragrance? Like some dumbass movie. But really, I'm just like, is that coconut? And you want a dude like that. You want a motherfucker, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So you got to get out there and preach you want a motherfucker Bible. Because because I go to do these jokes in the club, and the women will laugh until they get judged and they'll hold back. But then secretly they go, I totally agree with you. And
oh,
it's
I love
like,
that.
I just, why is society saying that this has to be one way, but underneath it, it's really, this is what the bullshit is. The bullshit, what's going on right now, is most people don't feel the way the social justice warriors are saying.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
People talk about it in private, and that's what's bullshit. We have to have our private public.
The reason why people do that is because if you have your own opinion and you're around other people that are of another opinion, and you say one thing that is not on the exact same level as theirs, like if you say one thing that's that contradicts a little bit about what they're saying, you get attacked. So people end up not saying anything because they don't want to. They don't like if they're like, well, I can understand why. What? Why could you fucking, you know what I mean? People just start attacking you. How could you take that side? That's what happens. So people end up not talking about it in public.
But they
much.
Can't, you can't hang out with those people.
No, I don't hang
you
out
can't,
with them.
You can, whatever your politics are, your friendship, your connection should be because you're connected. And it's
absolutely.
If people are going to judge you and hate you because of certain things, which they do.
Of course.
That's why it's hard to hang out with a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's weird. So I say like, you know, you got to keep your circle close.
Who is your closest friend? I mean, like, from
I have a couple friends actually
from childhood.
From childhood,
so
yeah,
do I. So
that are my friend. My one friend was he was from childhood, and he came out here too. And he didn't really want to act. He was always physical, so he's a stunt man, and he's done a.
Oh, that's ton great. Of, oh, so he's still out here.
Oh yeah, he does a ton of stunts. He worked on Us. He worked on.
That's great.
He's a big stunt guy, and he used to do my stunts for a while. And
oh,
so
wow.
If I have a good movie or role, he'll do it. But him, he's a good friend. I have another friend, Bobby. Just a few people, you know. Like, I mean, I don't see her as much, but I like really do love Melissa McQueen. I mean, she's like a sweetheart who I can talk about anything with.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, and you and I are becoming much closer. And I feel like people that know me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And there's people in the business, too. Like, you know, Flip.
Yeah, love Flip.
Flip has known me a long time.
I've known Flip a long time, too.
So it's like, people like that.
I just mean, like, and I'm glad that you brought up your childhood friends, because it's like, and I went back home recently, and I try to go back home a couple times a year, and my close friends from college, and two of them are actually also from high school, they do a thing every year up in this amazing farmhouse land up in Pennsylvania for President's Day weekend, and it's just like, you know, riding four-wheelers, drinking, eating, you know what I mean? It's just a lot of fucking fun. And this is the first year I was actually able to do it. But when I'm with them, they've known me before comedy, before acting, before hosting, before anything, before writing. They've known me so long. There's something that I hold on to that so tightly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it happens a lot when you have a death, I feel like. When mm-hmm. my mom passed away, I was like, you know what? All of this bullshit that surrounds this industry means nothing. It means nothing at the end. It's the relationships you have. And I know I'm not saying anything that's groundbreaking. Everybody knows that. But you don't really experience it until you go through a loss or you see one of your friends going through something just tragic. It's everything else, just all the other bullshit goes aside. And I think we get caught up with all of this crap. And the social media aspect of it makes it worse just every day. It's like, I never look at the feed on Instagram. Not never, but I try not to because I don't want to kill myself. It's just like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, I only want to look at like my friends. I'll go to their page to look at their stuff purposely. You know what I mean?
I know. We have to look at that. There's something going on that why I always say this, that comics are the most secure people.
Yeah.
Because we are in a room and we're going, hey, look at me. I got something to say.
Yes.
So all attention. But we're the most insecure people that we need your approval.
Yes.
And so, but we're at least honest about it.
Yes.
And yet social media is saying, why are we going out there? Seriously. I understand there's some monetary value, but why are we putting ourselves out there and getting a bunch of appraisal from strangers?
Yes.
Now, it's different than comedy, though.
Yes.
We are trying to do a skill at a marked skill, like whatever, playing the flute or
right.
dunking a basketball. But some social media is just a picture and they're like, you know, there's, I don't know why social media has made us even more narcissistic, but more desperate for approval of strangers. And
yes.
I don't know what that is. And it's fascinating to me because it's strangers.
It's every generation too. My
yes.
dad looks at my uncle who travels a lot and is like, oh, look where he went. Well, I want to go. And I'm
yeah,
like oh my God, are you having, yeah, like a third quarter life crisis right now? Like
if you want, yeah, if you go down that rabbit hole, why do we have to kind of outshine our neighbor?
Yes.
That's what social media is.
Oh my God, yes. Perfect example. Brittany, the girl who ran the show last night, she just went on this amazing, it looked amazing, this vacation with her husband, you know, like a few, I think it was like 3 week vacation. It was amazing. And she was posting these great pics. And I was like, oh my God, did you have the best time? She's like, no, I could not wait to come home. And I'm like, oh my God, because those pictures, like, well, I made sure that those pictures, I actually was having a good time while we were taking them, but I didn't post any more than that because I was just like, you know, it's everything is so fake on there. And again, we know that, but I'm always shocked when I see somebody like, you know, just posting everything. And then I come up to them like, you are killing it. They're like, I am in therapy 3 days a week. I am super sad. I'm like, what? Like you can't, it's
bizarre.
That's
what they should post that.
That I know. Well, some people do. They'll put the whole like, you know, if you're going through hell, keep going. Or they'll post a quote, you know what I mean? Then you're just like,
yeah.
Or some girl will just post a shot of her in a bikini and put Tuesday, and she just wants to see how many fucking likes she can get because she was feeling bad about herself that day. And that's fine, too. I'm not going to judge that person for that. I mean, I just posted a bikini photo. I was riding a swan.
Wait, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, you did.
But see, what I liked, what I liked about that post is that you were funny and sexy.
Thanks.
Now, there are some people out there that just post to sexy, and I want to go, where's that punchline?
Where's their punchline? They don't have a punchline. Well, I was talking about it.
Where's the irony?
I was talking about it the other day. When you're older, post, like, I watch all my, like, you know, the young people I work with or like, any other comedians that are, like, 10, 15 years younger than me. They can just snap, post, you know, caption, off. For a person in their 40s, it just takes a longer time.
I know.
You have to fucking filter it. But then you have to come up with the best caption.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times you're just like, erase.
No.
Then I'll like send a practice caption to like Ariel or any of my other friends. I'm like, is this funny? And then they'll come back with another one.
Wow.
And then you post it. And then it's like a hashtag. How many emojis do I put?
Oh, my
do
God.
I like? It's too much work.
You're overthinking that.
Oh, yeah.
You're
it's
overthinking
a lot. I know. Well,
you're overthinking that a little
it's
bit.
It's just like a woman trying to take like a naked selfie. It is so hard for a woman of any age, by the way. A guy can just pull like a half a leg down and snap a pic of his dick and be like, there's my dick. A girl will spend hours because we need it lit. We need like our hair a certain way. We have to pose a thousand different ways. Send it to our girlfriends or gay friends and be like, does this look hot? Is this too much tit? Is my face in it? Is it not enough? And then we have to filter it because you can't send a naked selfie. Yeah. It has to be filtered. Tan your tits and your ass, but then your face is still porcelain white. You're just like kind of looking off. Wow. But then you also have to be like, what am I doing in this picture? Whoops, you know, caught doing the dishes naked. Like it has to be, it takes fucking hours. And then you guys are like,
wait, I gotta tell you, see, this is where Jody is confused. So you're posting a picture. I tell a girl this the other day. I told this girl, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this. I say, you should identify as a gay man. Because I don't think you have to do all that.
I know a guy doesn't think that.
Who are you posting this for?
I'm not posting
Mademoiselle?
No,
are you sending that to?
You want to send it to a guy and you want him to be like...
How often are you sending nudes?
Like every day. No, I'm just kidding. sent one just now.
I got to tell... Okay, so wait. So let me tell you this. So I played a club. So this is the opposite. So I played a club and I never do this, but it was a while ago and it was a waitress and she was pretty... Randy, you know what I mean, like,
but in a good way,
extra friendly, and just like, hey, what are you? You're funny, you know, like that type of, you know what I mean. And it was like a big club and whatever. And so she DM'd me, like at 1 a.m. and goes, "What are you doing?" Now I don't know if I can describe the picture.
Oh God, please describe the picture.
Am I allowed? Is this
we're allowed whatever to describe podcast? The picture. Yeah.
So she said. She was really sexy. Am I gonna get in trouble in 5 years? She sent me a picture
5 years
of her. How you describe it?
The lips.
It was that.
So her lips were open. Her vagina lips were open
with a beautiful piercing.
Oh, she had a beautiful piercing. She was showing your piercing.
And she goes, "Room service."
That's good.
I didn't think there was airbrushing.
There definitely was.
And she's like, I only have till 3 a.m. before my boyfriend comes back.
All right, now that's gross.
Whatever. It got my attention. So what I'm saying is, what am I saying? I don't know.
Just so you know.
Things happen and you didn't have to do all that.
That picture is a stock vagina that she she took that picture.
No,
yeah, she took it prior.
No,
she has it in her phone.
No,
yes.
It was for me. I believed it.
You can believe it, but it wasn't.
Oh God, I want to believe it.
No, everybody gets that fucking open vagina lip piercing picture. That's her profile pic. Like, this is it, you know what I mean? And you fell for it because I'm sure it looked beautiful because it had been retouched and filtered and just the right lighting.
It wasn't that. Let me take you into the mind of a man.
Okay. Yeah, you guys don't care. That's the thing.
Because you are a man, but sometimes you do identify as a woman.
Yeah, thank you.
And where is that it's not that she sent me the vagina or the piercing. It's not that.
What is it?
It's the fact that she did.
Oh.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That means she is wild.
Yeah.
It's the attitude.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what, I don't know if women understand that. Like, no guy has a type. Any guy says, she's my type. That's a gay man. No offense. I've said gay a lot in this podcast. I hope I'm in control. But men are horny. I'm not saying they're going to do everybody.
Right.
But they are definitely, like, if a chick is sexy and that's an attitude, that means a lot. Obviously, you want all the other accoutrements.
Right. Yes.
But you know that, right?
Yes, I do. And I also know that I could send, like, just, like, you know, just a picture of me just standing in the mirror naked and the guy's going to like it pretty much.
Yes.
But in my mind, it's like, it's got to be like, I have to think it looks hot and sexy and all of that. I know that he's going to fire back with like, hot, send another. And he has no idea that it just took me a half a day to take that one.
It's really funny.
But like, it is definitely, look.
Aren't you worried about the future? You don't send your face, do you?
I do if it's somebody that I've slept with before and I trust that human being.
But
are you ready for this? But here's the thing. That's another thing. If we send our face, it's because in the back of our mind, if that photo leaks, I don't care because I know how good it looks.
Because it's been touched
up and hot.
That's
and I'm like,
okay.
if it got out, then it got out. And I'm like, damn fucking good. And they'll be like, whoa, did you see Jody Miller's tits? Nice. And I'll be like, yeah, that's because I'm lying down. So when I'm lying down, they go into my armpits, but yeah. They also, depends how if I'm like, because they're natural people. Natural tits fall into your armpits when you lay on your back. So you have to position yourself just right with your other arm over your head, and then you're leaning, and then it looks like it's standing upright. So it's like perky.
Yeah.
5 years, this is going to be even lower.
This is a to-do.
It is.
See, I don't do the nude thing because I've
never.
Well, I'm probably bad. Yeah, definitely, but a very, very limited.
But you won't. But guys normally don't show their face.
Never.
No.
And it's like even that I don't even want to do because it's just like it's just too weird.
It is weird.
And you can get busted like of like you know in 5 years they put it to your face and you're like you're the dude or
are they matching? Are they
no,
matching dicks?
No, it's just weird. It's just like you don't want
to
be the embarrassment.
You know how People Magazine says like they have this little quizzes like match this kid to the parent. Like wouldn't it be great if like they had matched this dick?
That was weird. Well, they probably do.
By the way, I don't know a lot of women. I've been on stage before, and I used to do the, you know, dick pic joke, you know, where I talk about dick pics.
I did a dick
guys.
Pic joke in my new special, but it's very different. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, no. I don't.
And then I'm done with it.
No. I don't do it.
People said it was a unique way to do it. Is a dick pic a premise?
Yeah, a lot of people have done dick pics.
Okay.
Yes. So, no.
Is it
but,
hacky hack?
No, it's not. Because everybody has their own take on it. So I definitely talked about it, but I also talked about, I say it, guys, don't send us a dick we don't know. It's, you know what I mean? If I've never met that dick, I don't want a picture of it. It's like looking at my friend's kid and I've never met the kid. I'm like, well, he looks cute. Like, I don't know. Like, what is this? Mm-hmm. So while I was on stage telling that joke, I shit you not, people.
No.
Someone in the audience went on my fan page on Facebook and DM me because he's not a friend of mine. So he sent me it goes in the other category. So I got off stage and I got like a messenger alert and I look and I'm not even kidding you. This guy sent me a picture of his dick.
And it was a cockadoodle.
It was a dick with a little bit of pre-cum. Gross.
No!
Yes. And he wrote, I know you haven't met this dick yet, but do you want to? So he was in the audience listening to my set, and that was a stock dick. He had that dick ready to go, because guys have dick pics ready to go, too, just like girls have open vagina piercings ready to go.
No, it was for me only. Go ahead.
But he sent this to me while I was on stage, and a part of me was like, damn, like, I admire that, you know what I mean? That, you know, mm-hmm. that courage and, you know, that gumption to be like, I'm going to take initiative and send her this dick right now. And then also, I was really grossed out, because my dad was visiting, and he was like, did you get a message? I was like, yeah, and you can't see this.
So wait, let me ask you. There's nothing that pre-cum dick did for you.
See, no. No, there's
this is
nothing.
Like, I don't understand why guys don't get this.
There's nothing.
There's
guys,
nothing.
They
there's
don't.
Not even
no.
really a hard dick. No. You have to have mad lead up and
yes.
then that hard dick to finish the job. But they have to understand that the guy's got to fuck your mind.
Yes.
And if they just sending dicks out of the blue, they
you
don't get
you have to have already have a connection with that
yes.
human being, in my opinion. Which is why when guys just send blanket dick pics to women
yeah.
that they've never had sex with, I'm like, who's going to be like, get that dick over here right now?
Because they're thinking from their own. They're thinking
from
like,
their dick.
Yeah, they're thinking that a dude, like a women are like dudes, and they're not. And they think that they're that men are visceral to the body and women are not. They can appreciate it. But.
Did you ever think, like, when we were in high school, did you ever think, like, that one day you'd be sending a picture of your dick?
No, that's my whole joke. It's like...
Oh, it is?
Not kind of, no, but different. It's like men are so desperate we've put our dick in the phone.
It's hilarious.
It's like the greatest invention and we've put our dick in it. Like, it's weird. It is weird.
It's so great.
It's like we're the only species of animals that comes out of the shower, looks down, and goes,
that's
I think
amazing.
I'm going to send this about 35 people.
That's so, yes.
It's
I think
weird.
You should expand on that and even talk about, like, I think men have thought that for every invention, by the way. I guarantee you, every time a man invents, like, something, like when they invented the telephone, it was like, let me see if I can stick my dick in this phone. Like, or when they invented, like, the microwave, a guy was probably like, let me just put my dick in it. Like, I think guys want to stick their dick in everything.
Yeah, that's true.
You should add other inventions to
I
that.
Like that
like
idea.
The bicycle or the I don't know why. I just feel like guys are always like, and then I put my dick on it. Like, I feel like that always follows anything that's like something new. Like that cup of coffee.
Put your dick in it. I wanted to ask you something because last night, and you haven't asked me about it yet. How is your neuroses? We went off the rails on dicks, and now we're back.
I know. My neuroses as far as, like, living alone or...
No, like, I get... I feel like I'm even getting more.
The older you get, get more.
Well, no, like, I'm like doing these shows. And I was telling somebody the other day, I'm not me. I'm a thing. And I've been a thing for a while.
You have been.
And I'm like, you know, Snuggle Fabric Softener. You know, you recognize me. You know I'm there. Depends on how hot I am in that moment. I have a good marketing campaign or not. But I'm lucky. But it's like, yes, when I go on stage, and I was telling another comedian this, a female, and she was like, you're right. I have like 6 or 7 levels I have to hit more than some other people because of expectations. Where mm-hmm. have I been? What am I doing now? You know, if I bump somebody in the hallway and I don't say hi, am I an asshole? And I get like fucking so neurotic when I'm going and the scene is so hot. I fucking go from set. I want to make sure it's all good. Like I have a checklist and then I go to the next one.
Right.
Do you get like that?
You know, I'm in a different, I'm not at the level that you are at, but I definitely have that where I show up somewhere and everyone's like, you know, all the other comics, you know, have that like, oh, you know, you're Jody Miller and you're so talented. I love you. You're so funny. So I'm all of a sudden I'm like, I have to almost prove it to them more than the audience. For some reason, I don't really care about the audience because they don't know me as well as they know you. It's more definitely in town. I feel like I have to continually keep proving myself just so everyone knows I'm still on the top of my game. I'm still fucking there. You know what I mean? I might not be out every single night because I'm working on a show, so I can only go out on the weekends and do spots. But every time I get up on that stage, I got to make sure everyone knows I'm still fucking here.
I was thinking about that. Like you did 2 shows last week at the store.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yes.
And the store was beyond sold out.
Yes. Sometimes I do all 3 rooms, which is amazing, which is the hat trick.
That's the hat trick. That's so intense. Mm-hmm. And I did 2 shows that night too. And I was thinking about it. It's like the amount of neuroses I have doing shows like that.
Right.
And they're great. As opposed to like, I'm like, how come I just don't go to Tempe and do 5 shows for myself? Which I do.
Right.
But, you know, and I credit Bobby Lee. And Bobby Lee's like, dude, you have to always perform in town. Your peers need to see you. You need to be in their radar. They need to respect you or let you see that you need to up your game. And it's I was driving last night, even that gig last night, which I didn't know a lot of people. Some
right.
were known, some were big, some were small. There's you, there's me. I was like feeling out that room because it was like, you know, it had a hipster vibe, but it didn't. It was actually a very, very cool room.
Yes.
And I felt like, wow, now I'll go back and I'll know what to do more.
Right.
And it's like, I was like, sometimes I'm just questioning really, why am I putting myself through it? But it is because we are in the fucking nucleus.
Yes.
Of the best.
Yes.
And I just want to, it is, I just want to let everybody know that it is, it's neurotic. It's intense because going on the road and just being the king of your own castle, which is great, and selling out 4 or 5 shows, which I love to do, you can get your little, I'll get a little hack bar up.
Yes.
I'll get a little hack in me. And then I'll come on the road, I'll come to LA and I'm like, oh, my little Hackenstein ain't going to work here.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't even realize it. So I guess what I'm saying is why, but I know why, but I'm just wondering if I just need other people to tell me they feel it so I feel better.
I definitely feel it. And I think it is because we are getting older and we are scared that if everyone isn't seeing us killing it every single time and we're not in everyone's radar, exactly what you said, like Bobby told you, then in their mind, he's gone. He's out of here. He's not working right now. Like that's, no one ever wants to think, they don't think I'm working. I'm not working.
Here's what, I don't feel that. I just want to be good. But here's what I want to say on that is that why I love your show so much, and it might be the most fun. It's a top 3. The best
fun. The stand-up one show?
No.
The C-word.
No, and I love
it
too.
Oh, you mean the show Funny Should Ask. Yes, the Funny Should Ask.
So yeah. Here's why I absolutely love that show and how I can break it down. But listen, some of the greatest movies I've ever been in, some of them were amazing sets, and some of them were, you know, intense sets.
Right.
And some of the dumbest movies I've ever been have been the best times.
Right.
But like probably the funnest set I've ever been on was a movie called Boiler Room. And it was all young, cocky actors in their late 20s running New York
Great
for
movie.
8 weeks. Thank you. And just running the town during the height of the club scene and all of us being in Details magazine. And we were just running through and doing parts of assholes and being that at night.
Right.
So that's number 1. Jamie Kennedy Experiment for the amount of expression is up there. Malibu's is great, but it was intense because there was so much pressure on me.
Right.
But your show, funny you should ask, and what I want to go back to what we're talking about, why it's so great for me to do is because Byron Allen, I hate the term relevance, right? Like, because to me, it's all about being good. And now people use this more and more. Like, if I say something, they go, well, you're not relevant. Like, if I say, you don't have that, you're not relevant. What's the last thing you've been in? You're relevant. And you have, Byron just to me gets the most talented people, whether they're hot or cold in their career. And he fucking just has the most funnest people and the funnest times. And why I love that show is because it is just talent first.
It really is.
And it's complete archetypes of comedy. Not just the seats, but the comics that you have.
Yes.
Male and female. And I just say, like, it's funny because that's the most amount of legends I've ever been with. And yet it's the least amount of pressure because they've all made it.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
So isn't that funny, though?
It's interesting. I'm glad you brought up the whole relevance thing and people saying you're not relevant. That's what I mean by, I think when you were bringing up the whole neuroses and the neuroses that I have is that I want to be relevant. Yes. I want to stay relevant. You want to stay relevant. And, of course, you want to be, like, kicking ass. And, yes, when you go on the road, and I love going on the road as well, it's anywhere outside of Los Angeles and New York, it's like just easier crowds. You just walk up and you're like, hey, and people are just so happy to be there. So then you do fall into a little bit of a laziness when you're on the road. You know what I mean? Then you definitely come back into town, you get on stage and you're like, oh, that joke isn't really funny at all. Mm-hmm. And LA just let me know that, you know what I mean? So it is, I definitely understand what you're talking about, but it is, I'm so glad you said the relevance because that is a major thing. No one wants to not be relevant. I
hate that word.
I do too.
And I hate that some of the most relevant people aren't doing anything other than just existing. I'm not jealous of you. I'm just saying, why do we, I don't know. It's like, to me, if you're talented, Barry Manilow is in a fucking casino in Vegas at the Westgate. Okay. How many people know that casino? I do. To me, he's talented. Does he have to be in the fucking middle?
He's a legend.
Yes.
Yes.
So to me, good is relevant. Yes. But I guess, but you know, maybe I'm out of the loop.
But see, no, that's exactly what I mean by like how this industry and all industry changes because if you're not, if you're not in everyone's face all the time, that's what I meant
by
that.
You're not on the hottest.
Yes. But it's not, it's like, yes, it's like I'm so, for me to stop doing stand-up when I started working on Funny You Should Ask, I had to like stop doing shows during the week because I was just mentally exhausted and it was especially when we're in production. So I could really only do Fridays or Saturdays unless something, you know, specific came up during the week I could do. But I felt nervous. I'm like, I'm not going to be, no one's going to remember me. I'm just showing up on Fridays and Saturdays and doing my set. I felt a disconnect. But then I had to remind myself like, fuck, I'm working. So almost more than half of those people there would kill to be working, just working.
Yes.
So it's like just sort of like reprogramming our brains to be like, knock. It's just our fucking egos. It's all of that bullshit wrapped up in one. And it's watching other people that are there all the time. Like I'm relevant. It's like, what does that even mean?
No, it's not them. It's the audience or the Twitters that are like, the Twitter people that are come out and are like, well, you know, what was your last TV show or something? And it's just like, you're not relevant if you didn't have something that was out in 1 second. It's just like, I don't know.
And they wrote that from their basement.
Yeah. So it's like, whatever.
While sending a dick pic.
Yeah. I guess it's just like, I always have an appreciation for if I saw Lamb Chop, which I actually did at your show, I was very excited about that.
I know.
Because Lamb Chop raised me. But Lamb Chop night might be on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Everyone knows Lamb Chop,
though. But Lamb Chop is a legend to me and is just as relevant to me as Cardi B.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be great if they did like a duet?
They should, but
Cardi B and Lamb Chop.
That's what I'm just saying. I just, we're so disposable now.
Lamb Chop's going to be on this next stand-up one show again.
Really?
Civil War Lamb Chop.
Wow. So she took the whole chop and doing a new chop.
For those of you, I'm sure you all know Lamb Chop.
Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop.
Sherry
raised
Lewis,
me.
Yes. Apparently she was on television from, I think, 67 to 99. So there's a lot of generations that were raised by Lamb Chop. Is that crazy? So her daughter.
Wow, that's 32 years.
Yes, good math.
Wait, what do you mean on television?
She was on television in 67.
But meaning just like throughout different things?
Doing different shows, but had her own show, yeah. And she had her own production company. Sherry Lewis was definitely a pioneer and an amazing woman. She died young of ovarian cancer at 64. And Mallory took over her daughter and has been doing Lamb Chop, you know, ever since. So how I met her was I was doing a benefit and for Reading Children LA. And she was there. And at first I was like, that's Mallory Lewis? I'm like, that must be Cheryl Lewis's, you know, daughter. And I said hi to her. She's hilarious. She's really funny. Just a sweet woman. We just totally hit it off. And when she broke out Lamb Chop, she just took it out because she was getting ready to go up. There was this weird sensation. You just all of a sudden feel like a kid again. And even though you know somebody is operating this puppet, when she put Lamb Chop in, Lamb Chop was like, hi, Jody. Like, I wanted to cry. I got, like, really emotional. And I was like, I want Lamb Chop. So then I asked her to be a part of Stand Up When, which is a monthly show that I run at the Improv where I pick a different year in history and all the comics write and perform comedy as if it's actually that year.
Pitch.
And Jamie has done it. It was a pitch.
Multiple times.
Yes. Multiple times. And he's kills it all the time. So this year we're doing Civil War this month. We're doing 1861, start of the Civil War. So I asked her again to be a part of it because she'll get a little outfit for Lamb Chop and Lamb Chop can be a soldier.
That's so funny.
I mean, come on.
That is so
little
fucking funny.
Little Civil War Lamb Chop.
That's really funny.
But we don't have people like Lamb Chop or Mr. Rogers anymore.
Don't we?
I don't think we do. Or Blue's Clues. Blue's Clues is still around? I don't even...
Blue's Clues is coming back. Let me tell you something. Across the street, All That is coming back. So my theory is...
Wait, for the people that are listening, what's All That?
All That is the younger generation.
Oh, All That, that show. Yeah, All That. I thought you just meant that building, All That. I was like, it took me a second.
No, it was a younger show. But there's a great book called The Long Tail, and you should have read it. And if you didn't, you should. But this is why the world is going. So it's all about content.
Right.
So just as much as you think, like, there's no way you can have more content, right? You can, because it's never been consumed so much.
Oh, my God.
So why, it used to be like, there's something like where there was one or two spots, as you know.
Right.
And it was like the gauntlet. But now, because people can get you wherever, you can have your own Jody Miller army. Because they can see you through your snaps and your Instas and your TV or whatever. And you will not take away from the Jamie Kennedy army.
Right.
And it's like people can consume us more.
Yes.
And then they can decide if they want to see us. And it is a beautiful time. The problem is you have to work harder to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But like everything is coming back, Jody. Like,
I know.
Everything. And I read this article about it. You got to read it. And it's all about because you have the ability to get it. Like, the craziest one for me is One Day at a Time. I mean, was there such a public outcry? Give me One Day at a Time! And it's back for 5 seasons. Wait, and then say, people, if you like something, you are going to be able to get it when you want. Because we are in an on-demand society, so I think more is going to come.
That is true. Having said that, though, with the One Day at a Time, and then, obviously, Will and Grace, Murphy Brown for a short period of time, and then, what was the other show that came back? There was another one, too. The reason those shows came back is because the people that have cable are older. No younger generations have cable anymore. So those shows, like Will and Grace, came back because the people at home watching TV are the generation that love Will and Grace, and they will watch it. The younger generation isn't going to watch it. One Day at a Time, again, is they catered more towards the generation that grew up loving them, for sure.
But that's 40 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
One Day at a Time was 40
years. Oh, I remember it.
And it came back. That's, in to me, incredible. But that was on Netflix.
No, that was on Netflix.
So that was
sure.
Like,
right.
So, I mean, look, I just think that everything that was ever created is going to come back.
Oh, my God.
I do.
A lot.
No, but I feel like because just people can consume it. And there's going to be some new stuff, but you see less new stuff.
I know.
And you see mostly, the only person doing new stuff is like Jordan Peele. And a few people, and Quentin.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I think there was something that used to bring us together, though, that I miss. Like, I used to have a joke about this, too. Like, you could walk into a room, go to work, anything, and be like, did you see Lost last night or ER? And everyone's like, oh my God, it was so great. There's so much content out there. No one's a television star, and everyone's a television star. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, wait, what are you watching? What is that on? That's on your phone? It's 5 minutes long? That's an hour long? That's a docuseries? That's on what channel? That's on this? There's so much. No one's even connected over that anymore. Every once in a while, then you get the show like Stranger Things, where everybody watches it, or Fleabag. If you haven't watched Fleabag, watch Fleabag. So good. But then it's like, other than that, everybody's watching something different. So we're not even connected that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And people go like this, hey, what are you watching?
Yes.
So there's so much shit.
What are you watching?
I heard that show Fleabag.
So good.
Was great, but I didn't think of it again until you just said it.
So good.
So that's how, look how good it is.
Yes.
But and that you does barely that, hear it.
Right. But then there are shows that I know a lot of people still haven't seen that I
haven't
love.
Seen one episode of Game of Thrones.
Well.
Am I a piece of shit? But I'll watch it all at once. I've only seen three Sopranos. I've only seen two Seinfelds. But that's because I will go and consume all that now because I've been busy the last 30
You're
years
busy.
Trying to do a career.
Yeah.
And get my own dreams. But I will start. I started watching The Walking Dead and it's incredible.
Yes.
So it is nice to be able to just gang watch these things. That sounds
weird. Gangbang them?
Gangbang them. But it's like, it is bizarre. It is bizarre. It's fucking bizarre.
It's bizarre.
It's like my brain is going to explode.
I know. There's just so much content out
there. Do you think everyone's going to be a star?
No.
Do you think everyone is going to be a star?
If everyone's going to be a star, then no one's a star. That's the thing.
I know. No one will be a star.
No.
But do you think everyone's going to be a star? I'm starting to think everyone's going to be a star.
They're going to get their 15 minutes. Or no, it's not even going to be 15 minutes. It's going to be 5 minutes.
Warhol's a genius. It's what he said. I think he's...
There's going to be less, though, than 15.
Well, he said everyone's going to have 15 minutes, but I want to say Andy said this to him. I'm not sure. He said, everything that was considered bad will be considered good.
Yes.
That is happening.
Oh, I know.
You know what's getting a rise?
Look at high-waisted pants.
But everything...
Sorry, I can't get on board with that.
Wait, what's wrong with that? But, like, don't you think that shit that's bad is getting what was considered bad? Like, I'm seeing, like, more and more people talk about Satan. And they make
Satan?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Satanism is on the rise.
Oh, Satanism.
Yes. And it's like there's certain things that, like, hey, as a Satanist, look, we just want people to enjoy their lives. Like, do what you want to do. And I'm just like, well, that's interesting.
Get on board. All right, Satanism. All right.
It's like they're kind of making it digestible Satanism. So what?
That's hilarious.
There's a joke there somewhere.
There is, but wait. I mean, it is true about like, you know, drugs that were deemed way worse.
What?
I mean, like,
yeah, weed's practically legal.
Yeah, I mean it is here, but I mean like shrooms.
Shrooms are almost legal.
Acid again, MDMA. Joe and I were talking about that last show.
Have you ever? Now I know you're not going to believe this, but I've never done coke. But I don't care if you believe it.
Oh, I love coke.
But let me ask you a question: is coke weird to you?
No, what do you mean weird?
Not weird to me either.
No.
Like, I've seen a ton of coke, and you know I see more coke?
Coke is Adderall.
I see coke outside of people, like our business gets a bad rap, but it's not our business. It's what I call the dorks that want to be in the business, and they overdo it. But like, I've seen people do coke in our business, but what I'm saying is I see more coke at different events, and people just do it, and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me want to try it, and it doesn't... A lot of these are very functional people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it's almost like a cup of coffee for them.
They're doing it recreationally.
So, like, I don't get why coke got such a bad rap.
Well, it's not great
bad
for
publicist.
You. It's not really great for you, but then again, people are just taking legalized coke, which is Adderall, which is the exact same thing. You know what I mean? Now, here's the thing. I loved coke. I've maybe done it maybe a dozen times in my life.
Get out of here. No. You just said I love coke. I've done it 12 times.
Yes, because I started.
1,200 times.
No, I started it like later in life. That's the other podcast. I started it a little bit later. Like, I was like, oh, this is great. And then I loved it so much. But here's the thing.
Oh, you were a late coke trier.
I was a late coke trier. And then I loved it. But I couldn't sleep on it, and sleep to me is more... I love partying, but when the party's done, I have to go to sleep. And coke stops that. So I'm too old to be like, oh, let's stay up till 4 in the morning.
How old were you when you started doing a toot?
The first time I ever did a line of coke, I was 28.
28 toot?
I think it's kind of late. So,
and how did you
do it? The last time I ever did it... Well, no, I think I did like one line this morning. No, I'm just kidding. I think I did like one line about... 3 years ago in Vegas. And I did one line, and I was like, I remember this feeling. It's great. It's short-lived. I have to go to sleep. Like, my brain, like, now I'm older, and I'm like, I have to sleep. It's the most important thing to me is sleep now. Like, my life revolves around how many hours of sleep am I going to get tonight?
So you did the toot. Now, why did you do the toot?
Because I wanted to try it.
You wanted to try the
and toot. And it is phenomenal. I'm not promoting cocaine on the show, by the way, everyone. This is just the opinion of one person. Do not take this and run with it. To put that disclaimer out there.
So did you have sex on it?
No, I've never had that. I heard it's great.
Because, no, I used to do a joke about a coke job. And that's the worst because it's like...
Oh, the grinding of the teeth.
And it's like, please don't. Please get away from me. Like,
yeah.
Like, I would hold it out and be like, this is a treat if you do a good job. Am I going to get in trouble for that? It's just jokes, people. Is it? Here you go. There's a treat. But, like, you don't want to get a pre... You don't want to get a blow pre.
You don't want to get a post.
Post
blow after coke.
No, you want to get a blow and then give let them do the blow, right?
Blow and then blow.
Yeah, don't blow.
No blow.
Because they'll it's not.
Because that's a no-no.
Yeah, it's not beef jerky. Okay?
Can't gnaw on it.
This thing's got to be sucked.
If I'm being really honest.
Be more. How much trouble are we going to get in?
I
fucking hate the world. You can't say jokes anymore.
We're saying I have a lot of Botox in my neck, so I can't give a good blowjob anymore.
No. And
yes, I was really good
neck
at giving
job.
Blowjobs.
No.
But here's the thing: because I like have a lot of Botox in my neck.
No.
Look,
what are you?
I
doing?
Can't open my.
Open up your mouth.
That's it. I can't open
God.
It any further than that. Fuck that! I've
Hold
given so
on.
Many blowjobs.
So wait a
and
minute.
It's more important for my neck to look young.
Hold on a minute. How do you? Wait.
See, you could give a good blowjob.
I could take it. All right. Hold on a minute. What are you doing? Why are you getting... So do you want a line?
So no.
Botox is botulism.
I love it. So listen to me. If you get Botox right here in these bands that connect your jaw to your neck...
You can't...
What happens is
SD anymore.
You've, not very well. But here's the thing. It relaxes these muscles, which pulls your jowls down. So when you get it up here, it actually lifts them back up. It is a game changer, people. I've put this on my Instagram story, too. So I will talk more about it. A lot of different places have different names for it. The place that I go to calls it the Nefertiti Lift. So you get Botox underneath your jaw and the bands of your necks, and they relax them so that your jowls pop back up. It is bizarre because as you get older, these muscles pull your cheeks down.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But having said
like
that,
droopy dogs.
Yes, you know how people start getting jowls when they're in their 40s and
droopy
they start
dog.
Like, yes. So this lifts it back up and it's a game changer. But I didn't notice this until I went to eat a banana. I know how fucking cliche. And I could not put the banana straight in my mouth. I'm like, why can't I open my mouth as like I have a small mouth naturally, but I was like, I should be able to get a banana. And I realized, oh, my God, it's because the muscles are relaxed. But you know what? It's more important for my face to look perky.
Wait, did you put the banana in your throat?
Oh, I deep throated the banana.
Wait, so hold
Sorry,
on a
Dad.
Minute. So you?
I was apologizing to my dad when I said shit like that.
So you did. So you got this. Doesn't Botox wear off?
Yeah, after like 3-4 months, I have to get
so
more.
Just,
I'm constantly getting. Yeah, I'm just
so
throwing money into my
done,
face.
Done.
Then I can blow.
Get to sucking.
So I should suck just a couple suck jobs.
Do wait 4 months. Yeah, get
then,
a couple sucks in.
Well, if I get into a relationship, then he knows he gets
a
BJ
sucks.
Every 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
I can still fuck.
No, but they get that suck in. Wait, I got to tell you something. So I was talking to a female comic not too long ago. It was so funny. And she was like, I had to go on the road. And she was like, I'm doing good. I'm selling. But she's like, it's going to be so boring. And I'm like, why? She's like, what do you mean why? I'm like, well, the road can be fun. She's like, I'm not a dude. I'm not going to get head. And I cried laughing. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, female comics don't do their set and look for guys to eat them out after a show.
It's hilarious. We don't.
I was
I don't.
Like, that was really funny.
That is really funny. But I've definitely fucked some dudes on the road.
Yeah, of course. Right. But it's not, honestly, it's probably you're not. First thought of, right?
My first thought? No. It's definitely You're, not.
No,
I'm,
it probably happened more naturally where
yes.
a male comic is like, you know. Hey,
no, it's like an audience person comes
yes.
up to me afterwards. We start talking. They're like, oh, you should come to this bar we're going to after your second set. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe. And then he walks away. And I'm like, I'm definitely fucking going. And then you go.
Wow.
And then you're just like, oh, and then you talk. And then you fuck. And then you're like, okay, I got to go.
And there's Botox.
Well, this is,
this
I think this
Botox
is
killing me.
I think this is before neck Botox, so I was still blowing back then.
Can't you get something else?
Listen, if I meet someone that I really care about and he was like, babe, I want more blowjobs, then I'll lay off a little bit on it. But until that day, Jamie, I am tightening this shit up. Fuck that.
Do you find the pressure to have nice jowls? You have great
jowls.
Yes,
thank you.
I've never noticed your jowls being sagging.
You don't can't have any saggy skin in this town too. This town eats you alive.
Yeah.
No, guys are different. By the way, so what is your equivalent to if I like if a woman hates being called a man? What do you absolutely hate?
What is the equivalent of?
I don't know.
What's a
like? When do you feel like when somebody?
I mean, Sarah doesn't really bother me.
No, because it's like a form of respect, and I know ma'am is a form of respect in the military in England.
Think about it. What else would a guy be called?
I don't know. Like, do you always have good names?
I think, like...
Guys that get older still have great names.
I honestly think that, I think people, when they start saying 50. Because I am almost 50.
What was harder, 30 or 40? I feel a lot of guys that have a hard time when they turn 30 for some reason. Because they don't feel like their career is where it should be. And then some guys I know, like, loathe 40.
30 was pretty good. 40 was, I mean, it was also good. I had a big party, but maybe, I don't know. I think 50 will be harder.
Yeah.
But I wasn't as hard. I think 35 was harder.
Why?
Because I was already on my way at 30.
Mm-hmm.
And at 35, I think it was a tough year,
right?
And it was like that. Then you're approaching what you think 40 might be,
right?
And then when I got to 40, I was doing good again.
Right.
So I felt okay. And now 50 won't be as bad as just as much as thinking. It's really, I really do think 50 is like the new 35. I mean, you and seriously, in our biz, look at me. I'm 50. Do I act 50? No. Do I look 50?
No.
Do I seem 50? No. I've never taken a blue pill or a yellow pill. I know guys that are 60, 62 that are like me. I know guys on the circuit. I know actors that you would know.
Yeah.
And there is a young vibe. And
definitely.
And maybe it's just more than just LA, but so I don't really, there's more daddy issues or whatever, but it doesn't seem like younger women find you less appealing. You know what I mean? Maybe it is more dangerous. I don't know. And it doesn't seem like older women find you less appealing. But the societal thing of what 50 is.
Right. Is
is weird. But I think it's changing.
It is changing.
I think it really is.
It's changing, but it's
definitely, you should read the article today. There's a 58-year-old woman who's hot as fuck and wants to be the first non-celebrity on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And she's amazing.
I want to see
She's a gym owner. She got two daughters. And she looks hot. And she's like amazingly hot. Everything. No, the jowls, everything.
The jowls?
And it's
she gives
like,
good blowjobs?
Probably. But but what I'm saying is like, I that's the only thing when people say like, when you're like, you're almost 50. And like, oof, they get that shit. And I'm like, yo, bitch. But it's like, it may not be like, I'll race you. Like, what do you want to do? I'll dance with you. I'll outdo you in something.
Right.
But that can chat my ass. Only because I don't know what it is, and my hair is a little thin, so I'm like, God. But if you have all of your ducks in a row, people
right.
will say whatever you want.
They can, totally. I can tell you this, though. We might not look our age and act our age, but I definitely, like, on the daily, I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to be in your 40s. Like, every day, it's like, what's wrong with me today? It's bizarre. It just, like, happened in the last, like, year. Like, you just wake up, and you're like... Why, like, you just pull a muscle getting out of bed. Like, my back, I'm like, why does that hurt? Why is my acid reflux great? Why do I have sciatica? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? It's bizarre. And your brain is like, I feel great. I just want to do this. But you're like, oh, I'm going to be paying for this tomorrow. You should never have those issues.
No, I do agree. In the last couple of years, it's gotten more like, you know, it's a to-do. And, like, when I was telling somebody about going on the road, it's like, I used to have, like, a thing. Like, I used to have, like... This guy was telling me last night, he was a comedian who saw me in New York, and he's like, I saw you, and then I started doing comedy after I saw you, and he was really nice about it, and it was like 11 years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, he was like, yeah, you had so-and-so open for you. I'm like, yeah, no, like, we had a whole to-do. It was like, do our shows, you know, kill, sell as much merch as we can, see what women are flirting with us, handle your scandal, you know,
handle your scandal.
Right? Get up the next day, eat a big breakfast, do it again. You know, maybe hit the local water park.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like my life for many years and, you know, and doing a movie or whatever. Now, I literally just want to have the best set, mm-hmm. try to act, what's the best joke, how much material can I gather for my next piece of film special or right. whatever. And it would have to go deep down the rabbit hole for me to really want to flirt with a woman. Like, you'd have to, like, basically be, like, molesting me to be like, okay, maybe there's a chance. But, like, after show, I'm like, where's a really nice cheese place? And I can appreciate the beautiful form, but I just can't go for it. The effort is just
too... It's a lot.
Too... It's just, I've lived.
I've lived too.
Like, and it's like, yeah, well, it's just, but a good convo is nice.
Yes.
It sounds...
A nice cheese plate. I fucking love a cheese plate. Like, yeah, it's like my favorite thing.
A good plate of brie.
Love cheese and fruit. Like, love it. It's like my favorite meats and cheeses. Just throw it all on there and then...
And that's why I was saying all that goes back to the baby, because I think men, when they're older, are better probably fathers and husbands.
I think actually both men and women are the older. And
I think that too.
I like that people are having children later because, I mean, I have a lot of friends that had kids in their 20s and they're wonderful parents, but I know me and that's why I wanted to have a kid later, just because I lived out my 20s. It's great. I know more now. I have more patience now than I probably did in my 20s. So I feel like if I, you know, had a kid now, I would be a better parent. I've also had more therapy. So, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just feel like, and again, my friends that had kids in their 20s were great parents. And now their kids are in college. And now they like to get to, you know.
Selling Adderall.
Yeah, they're selling Adderall, which, I mean, yeah. They taught them good business skills. I feel like that's good. All right. I feel like we're like there. Is there anything to talk about?
What else did we do? How long was that?
On for a while, right? But what are you going to promote? Tell everyone everything.
I just shot a special. I'm trying to look for it.
When does that come out?
It's called, can I say that? Hopefully it's going to be on Netflix or submitted to them. I don't know. Sometime in the fall. I got a part in this Brad Pitt movie called Ad Astra.
Amazing.
That's in the fall. I did a movie with Omar Epps called Trick. That comes out sometime in the winter. You know, and I'm out here grinding. I'm grinding like you. We're out there and I'm doing stand-up when.
Follow Jamie.
Jamie Kennedy. Jamie Kennedy on Twitter. All the bullshit. You know.
Please go see him if you haven't seen him. He's one of the funniest human beings and probably one of the nicest people in this industry.
Yes.
Next to me. I'm just kidding. He also doesn't. He gets better blowjobs because he doesn't have Botox in his neck. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
You guys, thanks for listening. I love you guys all. This is Jody Miller. Don't call me ma'am. Don't fucking call me ma'am.
This has been a Global Story Network production.